I am Susan Young, Chair of the Pacifica National Board. This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of November 6th. It is by Zoom. We are starting now at 8:34 Eastern Time. Will the Secretary please take the roll?
I will. Kaja Brown?
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Donna Carter is not here. Fred Dodsworth?
Is here.
Thank you, Fred. Jerome Edge, I believe, asked for an excused absence.
Yes.
Sally Gellert? I'll keep going. Jan Goodman?
Here.
Jan's here. Thank you. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Avalia Jones? I'll keep going. Zach Caldvier?
Yeah.
Thank you, Zach. Philip Mulderby?
Here.
Thank you, Philip. Marianne Martinez, I believe, also asked for an excused absence. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Asked for an excused absence.
Oh, thank you. I knew there was a third. Ron Pinchback?
Present.
Thank you, Ron. Serene Roberts? I'm sorry. Thank you, Serene. But also I skipped over Myla Reason because I put Ron's present by Myla's name. Myla.
Is here.
Thank you, Myla. Thank you, Serene. Thank you, Ron. James Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you, James. Minerva Sanders. I'll keep going. Harvey Wasserman.
Harvey will be late.
Okay. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
Thank you, Dennis. Michael Woodson.
Here.
Thank you, Michael. Susan Young.
Here.
Thank you, Susan. Let me go back up to the top. And Sally Gellert. Sally's not joined us yet. Avalia Jones. Nope. Minerva Sanders.
Let me just say, Minerva's been having a lot of trouble with her computer. And so I am texting her the phone ID and passcode.
Okay.
Right now. But okay. Who are the others who are attending?
So the others that we're still missing are Sally Gellert, Valia Jones, Minerva, and Harvey, who you said would be late. And everyone else is accounted for.
I spoke to Avalia a little while ago. She's going to try, but she's having some problems.
Okay.
And so she'll do her best to attend.
In any event, Madam Chair, we have 13, so we have quorum.
Great. And who else is attending who are not directors?
Oh, okay. Let me go and do that part of the roll call. Stephanie Wells?
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Darlene Pagano is timekeeper.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Aki Tanaka is recording secretary.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you, Aki. All right. Back to you, Madam Chair.
Oh, great. And let me just get this. I'm a one finger person. So, call to order, roll call. Report out from the October 2nd meeting. The PNB met in executive session to hear a disciplinary matter and a report from the ED on potential legal steps to be taken regarding actions by members injurious to the foundation. Excused absences. Are there any objections to excusing the absences of Jerome Edge, Sean Kelly McPherson, and Marianne Martinez? Hearing none, those are excused. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. And let me just note, a couple of changes have been requested. Minutes approval for October 2nd meeting, 5 minutes. Update on NDAs, 5 minutes. Committee reports, 20 minutes. Affiliates report, 5 minutes. Executive Director Report, 20 minutes. Unfinished Business, 5 minutes. New Business, 10 minutes. Motion to move into closed session at a time no later than 9:45. The request that I'm making is that we increase the time for committee reports from 20 to 40, and that we start the executive session at 10, because the items being brought up in it should be able to be dealt with readily within half an hour. Also, there are no new business items tonight, so that gives us an extra 20. Is there any objection to approving this agenda with the committee reports at 40 minutes?
This is Serene.
Yes, Serene.
Okay, so the committee reports include the budgets that were sent to us this afternoon?
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, there was something else happening. What did you say?
Yes, the committee reports will include budgets for affiliates, WPFW, KPFT, and KPFK.
Okay, I've moved that the budgets be removed from the agenda. They were sent to us not even 5 hours ago. I don't think people have had a chance to review them. I know I certainly have not. And I move that they be put over to the next meeting.
So is there a second? Let me just say, I do not agree with that. The committee's met before and everybody has the opportunity to join in the committee. Is there a second to Serene's motion to postpone these agenda items until next meeting?
May I speak to the motion?
No, there isn't a second, Serene. It fails for lack of a second.
Right, but you gave your opinion before asking for a second. I would like to explain why I think it's important that we do put it over.
Serene, I'm finding you out of order. You already explained. You explained that the materials were not here, you thought, in a timely fashion, and so therefore you asked that it be postponed. There is no second for the
right,
motion.
Right, but your statement that
you
put
out
it
of order.
Exactly,
the reason you are arguing with the chair. If you continue to
I'm
do
correcting
so, we're going to move you into the waiting room until we vote on the agenda. Okay, she's in the waiting room. And a vote, if her vote would make a difference. Is there any additional objection to the agenda? Hearing none. Okay, we will continue with the agenda. Please let Serene back in. Okay, the next is minutes for approval for October 2nd. Are there any corrections to the minutes that were distributed? Hearing none, those are where
I wish to adjourn. I wish to abstain, rather.
Okay, excellent.
I also wish to adjourn, actually, but okay.
So please note that Serene abstains from approval of the minutes. Update on NDAs. Julie, would you mind handling this? Actually, let me start and I'll ask you to help. There have been a lot of sort of considerations about our NDAs during the year. People sometimes asked for an NDA for one meeting and then for the next meeting. There was some discussion about whether the NDAs were in the form that people would prefer. So what the secretary and I discussed was moving up approval of the NDA in the form that was recommended by James Sagerton, reviewed it with counsel, thinks it's just fine. And so if there is not objection, we'll go forward with the NDA in the version that's been forwarded to you and that was provided, that was where amendments were recommended by James Sagerton. Are there any objections to approving that? Myla?
Chair, go ahead.
So we've got a couple things. James first, then Dennis, and then Myla. Oh, sorry, Myla.
Please let Dennis go ahead. I have to find the agenda and review that briefly. So go ahead with the other speakers.
Okay, Dennis, then Myla. Sorry, Myla. I wasn't sure who was first. Dennis.
When was the new version sent to us?
The changes to it are in the agenda.
So is there a clean new version, or do we have to do the one with the changes, or how does that work?
Okay, so what I propose is you can either stay with the NDA that you have already signed that we had at the beginning of the year for everyone who has a signed NDA on record.
Okay.
If you prefer to sign the amended one, then we'll forward that to you and you can sign that and we'll have that one on record. Does that answer enough for you?
Yes.
Okay, Myla.
Well, that answered my question, so thank you.
Okay, great. James.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a couple of notes. The sentence where we're saying any other information of any nature whatsoever, that Pacifica's executive director, CFO, or general counsel desires to maintain confidentiality. I think you need to say about which.
Well, the wording that you provided, that you offered was, provided that they so notify the member and that there are valid legal, business, and personnel reasons for the confidentiality. Does that?
I agree, but the phrase immediately prior to that, which is chief financial officer or general counsel desires to maintain confidentiality. It's not good English, shall we say. So I just wanted to say it should read any other information of any nature whatsoever that Pacifica's executive director, chief financial officer, or general counsel desires to maintain, about which these people desire to maintain confidentiality. So it should be whatever. After the word whatever, you could just say about which any other information of any nature whatsoever about which, and then instead of that, you say the.
Ah,
okay.
Sorry, that just scans more as an English sentence.
All right. Is there any objection to this additional recommendation by James Sagerton to just simply clarify? Hearing none. Ron.
My question is this. Are we saying that we're going to accept two different NDAs?
Yeah.
The previous one and the new one?
We will accept either.
So, Chair, 30 seconds for this item.
Thank you. We will accept either. Julie.
Yeah, what I was going to add to kind of help answer Ron's question is the folks who wanted to only sign temporary NDAs that were good through this meeting only, but were the folks who I think were waiting to hear, you know, what we did with the language that Sagerton was suggesting. And since we kept not getting to that conversation, the point is, presumably the folks who already signed are okay. They're modest changes. And if the folks who already signed are okay with the original version, they can stick with it. If they would prefer to re-sign on the new version, that's also okay, and we would record that as well. But people shouldn't feel compelled, unless they so desire, to sign the newer version.
And we will send
this item.
Yeah, so I understand we're at the end. We'll send out the new version that includes all of James Sagerton's language, and those who don't currently have a signed NDA can use it. And those who have a signed one and prefer to use this, great. And we will inform people who has one. Is there any objection to our moving forward with that plan?
Chair, this is James. There was one more thing I wanted to mention.
Yes.
If I may. Yeah. The, on section five, in red, you'll see the word email. Tough. And so we're saying one of the following methods, email, and then the other methods. I did some more research on that, and email notice is not favored by courts. Some courts don't accept it because it's, can't be proven who received an email or if someone received an email. So I think it should read, by one of the following methods, then you give the other methods. And when you're done with the list of other methods, it should, which would be where? Return receipt. It should be at the end, right before the period, you should say, and email. So in other words, what you're asking for is a complimentary, basically a complimentary email, since that's the way in the current modern world people find out most information. So email is a good thing, but it won't stand up in court. So we want, just want that to be an additional, complimentary thing.
That's a refinement that I'm not sure is necessary, but if it makes you happy, Ron, then Jan. Ron?
Okay, yeah, I'm a little concerned about having two different NDAs out there with demonstrative, with different language. I think we should make a decision on which, you know, that we're going to accept the version that the James version and be done with it. But I just have concerns about having two different.
Everybody to sign James's version. This is something that we should be able to move forward on promptly. Jan, what's your question?
I just wanted to say that California courts allow email, but I do think I would recommend that somewhere we get all of the members of the PNB to agree that they will communicate by email and accept email notifications of meetings and so forth. And that would make my life easy.
Do not belabor this so much.
Okay. I'm just
to get a working NDA. We should have had one in January. Okay.
I don't think we need to do it for this. I'm just
done. Okay. Sally has arrived. Sally, would you please say your name?
Hi, it's Sally. I'm here.
Oh, great. Serene, you have your hand up.
I do. You interrupted Ron, so I didn't hear his question and I couldn't understand your answer. So can we let him finish and then you can respond?
Ron, would you please state what you want?
My concern was that, once again, we got two different NDAs out there. And at some point, that sounds dangerous and confusing. So why not just say, hey, listen, we're all going to use this one version of this NDA with all the same language and call it a day.
So I understand, Ron, that what you're doing is you're moving to have everybody sign the new NDA.
Yes.
Seconded.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Okay, we'll get everybody to sign the new NDA. Okay, moving on.
If it makes you fucking happy.
Right, I hear you. Enough.
I call the member to order. I call
out
the
member to order. What was that?
So,
what
yes.
was that?
Out of order.
Everybody, yes. The member is, you have, yes.
What was that?
The member to order. Ron, please be quiet. All right, moving on down the agenda.
Wait a minute, hold up. Wait a minute.
Ron wasn't the one who cut.
I've just been insulted. I've just been insulted by a member. Okay.
Oh, order.
No, I'm not happy about the response here.
Somebody else is saying.
All right, if you keep arguing, you will also go into the waiting room.
Dodsworth was out of order.
Now you're threatening me.
No, I said Dodsworth was out of order.
Totally out of order.
I agree.
No, you said Ron was out of order.
She said Fred, then she said Ron.
I'm out of order.
Moving on. I said Dodsworth was out of order. Okay, moving on. The first is the committee reports. Audit. Minerva doesn't seem to be here. She has had major computer problems. Without objection, I would like to ask Darlene, who is the committee secretary, to just address when the meeting will be scheduled.
We did not have quorum at the meeting on Wednesday night. The next meeting will be a week from today, Thursday, November 13th. It has been posted.
There is no coordinating committee report. Finance, Fred, will you please move forward with that? Sorry, Dennis, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, what committee was that we just had?
Audit.
Thank you.
Fred.
Yes, on 9/9/25, the NFC enjoined, I guess it is, a motion from Susan Young that we review the WPFW budget and recommend it to the PNB to approve the budget. There were no objections. Additionally, on that date, we had a motion from Myla Reason that the NFC review the affiliate's budget, and we recommended the PNB to approve that budget without objections. On 10/14, the NFC took a motion to forward the fiscal year 2026 KPFK budget to the PNB for approval without objection. Additionally, Susan Young made a motion to move for the NFC to forward the fiscal year 2026 KPFT budget to the Pacific National Board for approval without objections.
So no second is required because it's motions out of committee. Fred, do you wish to address these more?
Well, yeah, we were scheduled to have a meeting last week. Unfortunately, it was through no fault of anyone's or without prejudice or intention or any sense that this was deliberately disruptive. The meeting announcement was removed from the Pacifica website, and so we could not go forward as it was not open to the public.
So we've got four motions on the floor. That is approval of four budgets. Myla.
May I just add that we rescheduled the meeting when we would review, and the NFC rescheduled for this coming Tuesday to review the KPFA budget.
That is correct.
Clarify, that was the regularly scheduled meeting this coming Tuesday, and we will be dealing with KPFA, WBAI, and National Office. So we have four motions on the floor. Is there any objection to approving the four budgets that were unanimously recommended by the National Finance Committee?
I move to separate.
Okay. Is there a motion to, there's the first motion is to approve the WPFW budget.
Wait a sec. Excuse me. I think that's a separate motion. She needs a second for each one of those motions.
You're absolutely right. Is there a second to Serene's motion to separate?
Second.
Is there any other objection? Hearing none, we'll deal with them one at a time. The WPFW budget, are there questions, discussion about the WPFW budget? So is there any objection to approving the WPFW budget as recommended by the NFC? Hearing none, it's approved. The affiliates budget. Are there questions or comments about the affiliates budget? Yes, Myla?
I just want to say bravo once again to the affiliates who are just operating in a really we really appreciate that they're constantly on. I'm sorry, their budget is fabulous, and I highly approve, and I'm grateful for all of their good work.
Fred.
Yeah, I want to second Myla's statement. Dealing with the affiliates is a real pleasure because they are professionals and they are not time wasters. I really appreciate that they are focused on the success of our national network.
Approval of the affiliates budget has been moved. No second is required. Is there any objection to approving the affiliates budget? Hearing none, it is approved. All of these are, by the way, the FY 2026 budgets. The KPFK budget. Is there any discussion about the KPFK budget? Is there any objection to approving the KPFK budget?
I wish to abstain.
Excuse me? You wish to abstain?
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. I couldn't hear you exactly. Okay, great. So Serene abstains. Otherwise, is there any objection to approving the KPFK budget? Hearing none, the KPFT budget. Is there any discussion about the KPFT budget? Hearing none, is there any... Excuse me? Serene, saying you wish to abstain? Is that what you were saying?
I wish to abstain.
Thank you. All right. Please show that Serene has abstained from that budget approval as well. Are there any others who would wish to challenge this budget? Seeing none, we can move forward. I think and Finance Committee, you have your next meeting November 11th. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. The Governance Committee.
Sorry. No, that's Julie. And the problem is I have to pull the different screen in front of me and I wasn't quite ready. Sorry.
And I'm texting Minerva the phone number.
Madam Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
I wish to make a point of personal privilege.
What's that?
Okay. So I attended, I listened to the meetings when these budgets were discussed, but I specifically requested copies of the draft budgets since September. They were never sent to me. The ones that were approved in October were never sent to me. So your statement earlier that people had an opportunity to attend the meeting and therefore sending the budgets 5 hours before the meeting was adequate is incorrect.
Thank you for your point of personal privilege. Julie, are you ready to start?
I am. Thank you. So the Governance Committee, one of the things we're doing is reviewing the roles of the outreach and membership / fundraising officers. And so one of the things we're trying to do is get some information from the various LSBs about the different kinds of activities that they undertake and the resources they devote to them at each of the stations. In principle, I think we expect a hodgepodge of answers, which is A-okay. And, you know, even very short answers will, you know, tell us something. And so I think the idea is we're going to gather all this information and then kind of share it back out with everyone for some sense of best practices, but also to keep things, you know, moving along in terms of engaging in outreach and membership and fundraising. We passed two motions at the Governance Committee, and they are in the appendix. The first motion was regarding bylaws amendment. I'm sorry.
No, yes. The titles do not agree with the motions beneath them. So 5D1 is the title for 5D2, and 5D2 is the title for 5D1. So you may want to just note that in when you read the motion.
Oh, That's absolutely correct. So now it's, I've been busted for how I do cut and paste, which isn't obviously an editing. Yes, you're absolutely right. The first motion is really the motion regarding bylaws amendments. The second one is the one regarding special meetings. But let's deal with the motion that's listed first, which is the bylaws, not the title of it, but the bylaws amendment motion. And so that motion, which passed the governance committee, is that bylaws amendments submitted to the Pacifica Governance Committee must have preliminary endorsement by six directors or include a 5% member petition for consideration by the Pacifica Governance Committee and the PMB. They must be in full bylaws proposal form, including the article number, section text, with underlines for additions and strikeouts for omissions. That for any properly submitted amendments, the Governance Committee will review, consider, and forward to the PMB within 45 days of submission. Amendments not in the proper form will be announced as such in a Governance Committee meeting, and an email will be sent to the submitter informing them of the deficiencies. Amendments must be submitted at least 1 week prior to a Governance Committee meeting. So that's the motion. Let me do just a little bit of motivating, which is that first part where, the governance, you know, motions that or bylaws amendments that come to the governance committee have to be endorsed by six directors or a 5% member petition. That comes from the bylaws. That's not something that the governance committee made up, right? And that was, true under the 2020 bylaws as well as the 2025 bylaws. And then of course, you know, the rest of this is about, making sure that bylaws amendments come to the governance committee first, and then they'll, you know, when they make it out of committee, then they'll come to the, full PMB, of course, because the governance committee can't approve bylaws amendments. But, you know, that the, one of the things that the governance committee will do is determine whether for each bylaws amendment that we get, whether it does or does not require a membership vote. And so the ones that don't require a membership vote can then be brought forward to the PMB for action by the PMB. Of course, the ones that require a membership vote, that's a little more involved because we would have to have both a membership vote and a PMB vote. So, and the other thing about that is because elections themselves are, somewhat expensive, you know, the idea would be that anything that requires a membership vote, we would try to sort of bundle up as many of those kinds of things as we could at the same time so that we're, being efficient with, expenses for elections. And so that's, and the 45 days, was to keep things moving along. And then the other thing is if someone's, amendments don't quite, you know, pass muster in terms of the form that they're submitted in, that the governance committee will, you know, let the proposer of the amendments know quickly so that they can cure the deficiencies. The 1 week before a governance committee meeting is just, you know, if you send something the day before a meeting, we're just not going to have time to get it out to everyone, make sure that everyone has had a chance to review it, et cetera. And so for now, the governance committee meets once a month. And so ideally, you know, and I think that is generally the second Thursday of the month. And so ideally folks would, submit bylaws amendments, you know, basically a way to think about it is before a PMB meeting, and then it will be in time for the governance committee meeting. So that's the motivation. Thanks.
We have three on the stack, Serene, James, and Sally. Serene.
Okay. So just to correct what you said, Julie, you said that the rules that you're imposing for discussion in the governance committee are in the bylaws. That's not accurate. The rules to propose a motion, an amendment, are the 5% or the six directors. The rule to discuss a proposal with the governance committee, which is what committees are for the deep dig and to hear what others are thinking about the thing you're proposing shouldn't be the same level that's required to actually propose an amendment. Committees are there to do the discussion, to do the research, to get feedback from other people. It really makes it, and of course I'm not saying that this is the motivation, but the standard should be different for discussion than for actual proposal. And having removed two of the minority board members, the non-New Day inclined members, you've essentially made it almost
Point of order. Point of order.
Get a
point of order.
What's your point of order, Fred?
Point of order.
Okay, Fred, Serene.
Thank you.
I'll get to hear his point of order. Please stop talking. Yes, Fred.
Serene just brought up the New Day, which is a malignment. It is a insult to us. It claims that we are a grouping that is in held in poor regard, and I want her to apologize for that.
So your point of order is well taken. I'm going to let Serene continue. No apologies. But you have pointed out, and I find your point of order well taken. Serene, please continue.
So the point of a committee is to have discussion, to do the deep dig into issues. The standard for passing something on the board level and the national level should not be the same as is required to talk about an idea. That's ridiculous. Who does that? I mean, if we're serious about discussion, if we're serious about input from, you know, the full community, that there should be no threshold. I mean, when you bring it, you would hope you would get a second, but
I'm not
the discussion.
Timekeeper, but you have, I believe you're past your 90 seconds. Okay, so I'll ask the timekeeper to watch our time. James.
Okay, so I would move to, okay, I'll get back on because I'd move to strike
get back
that.
On the get back on the stack. James.
Trying to clarify that. It seems like that the work that the committee would be taking on is work that was formerly done by the PMB as a whole. And so I'm just not sure why we need a second layer of hurdles for these things to come through. I mean, seeing if it's in proper form, I mean, I guess that would be okay if it's done in a nonpartisan, equitable way, which I'm afraid I don't have complete confidence in happening, but it just seems like we're getting an extra layer, an extra hurdle to jump over to make it more difficult. I don't understand why we necessarily need to have this extra hurdle. I mean, these are the things that were formerly done at the PMB, and seems like that's where they should be. And I guess in also agreeing with Serene's basic point is that the committees are supposed to be about discussing ideas before they get to the PNB, and you shouldn't have that hurdle before you can discuss something in a committee. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Sally, then Myla, then me, then Serene.
Yeah, I agree with the point about not having hurdles for discussion. I guess it's reasonable to ask for things to come in proper format, although I don't know that everybody who has an idea will be able to do that. So I hope the governance committee will help them with that. And the other thing is I note that you want everything a week before, so you've got time to review it, which makes perfect sense. I would, in that same spirit, request that this committee's agendas come out also a week ahead of time, so we have time to review. Thank you.
Agreed. Myla.
Thank you. Well, I'm grateful for the work of the Governance Committee on this motion. I think that people need to keep in mind that committee meetings are not the only venues for discussion. And if an idea is a good idea, then people should be able to find support for that idea, in my opinion. But we don't want to burden the governance committee with discussions that the author of the amendment has not been successful in gaining enough support to have that discussion in the meeting. And so that's my point. And I do appreciate it. I just read it for the first time during this discussion. I think it's an excellent motion and I support it.
Fred, then back to Serene. Go ahead, Fred.
I agree with Myla. I do want to say this as somebody who's chaired two committee meetings, that people who are on the board of the committee, who are appointed to the committee, have plenty of opportunity to speak. And we've been very successful, both at the governance committee when I chaired that and here at the NFC, to explore all the ideas that people have. What we don't want is people who are not on the committee to weigh in and waste a lot of our time. I would bring our attention to the fact that it is now 6:15 and we have not really even accomplished a fraction of what we're supposed to accomplish today. And the first 30 minutes was spent arguing about things that were not really of consequence. And I think that this is a problem that this board has and the committees have if they are not held to certain standards. I also want to support both Sally and Myla's statement that these things should come a week before. And I made it very clear when we had our last NFC meeting that I would not consider anything that we hadn't received at least a week in advance. And I'm happy to say that we were able to get everything a week in advance, and that made it much, much easier. I will note, though, that there was very little work done before the meeting. The meeting was where all the work really was done. People did not actually spend a lot of time.
Will you also keep time on people's statements? I think we're running long on them.
No, not people who speak for the first time get 90 seconds. Okay. And Fred was the only one that came close.
Okay, good. Sorry. I'm being hyper vigilant here. Serene, then James. I think, Serene, you've got a motion to amend.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I can't actually see the motion right now. But I do want to remove the requirement that six directors have to sign on in order to discuss a motion. I did ask for the advance notice so people would have time to read. But I think that
so your motion to amend is to remove the requirement of six directors or a petition. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second for Serene's motion to amend?
A second.
Okay. So then, I think Serene has already, explained at some length her reasons for this. So I suggest we go to a vote. Madam Secretary, do we still have you? There you go.
Yeah,
so,
sorry.
Go ahead and take the vote. The vote is yes if you support Serene's motion to amend removing the requirement of support by six directors or a petition. No, if you support the motion as it is currently written and not amending it. Will you please take the roll?
Yeah. Kodja Brown.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Okay.
That confused me.
Sure. Apologize for not being clear. In the motion that is before us, there is a requirement that when something comes to the committee, it already has the backing of six directors or it has a petition supporting it, which are the two things required under the bylaws. Serene's motion is to take those elements out of the procedure that the governance committee is recommending be approved.
Point of information?
Yes, Dennis.
You said those are the two elements required for the bylaws. Are they're required for the bylaws for presentation to the committee? They are not for the committee,
no,
right?
No, they are not okay. Required for presentation to the committee.
Right. The motion would add those to the committee, correct?
Okay. Yeah. What the committee, the consideration was, should the committee spend time on something that does not have the backing of six directors?
Understood.
Good. So yes, no, the bylaws do not specify what the policy is in the committee. Okay. So, if you vote yes, you're voting to remove the six directors and the petition from the committee's consideration. If you vote no, you're leaving the committee's recommendation as it has been presented. Julie, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in some sense, it's the same thing as removing the whole first sentence from the motion, because that's what that sentence really is about, although it means the first sentence of the motion begins with the vague they. So they would be bylaws amendments submitted to the Pacifica Governance Committee must be in full bylaws proposal form, including the article number. So that's what it would cut out, the middle stuff. Instead, it drops the phrase must have preliminary endorsement by six directors or include 5% member petition for consideration through they.
Okay, so
that's what would be struck.
Yeah. Chair, for the time, we have used 26 minutes of the 45 for item number 5.
Okay. So, Serene's got her hand up, Jan's got her hand up, Ron's got his hand up. Serene?
I did not have my hand back up. I just didn't take it down.
No, legacy, oh, yeah. No problem. Jan?
I am sort of inclined to think that people should be able to bring proposals for bylaws amendments to the governance committee who don't have all the support they need, because they might be able to get more support that way. But I think that there should be some kind of standard for it. So I would like to actually send this, you know, table it until next time and have a motion that says something like, you know, you have to have a couple of people, or something like that. Or I'm willing to pass this and then we can amend it later. I'm happy to do that too.
I don't know where we are on what it is you're really proposing, Jan. Are you proposing to postpone consideration?
Yes. I think I would like to postpone consideration.
So I
move to postpone consideration of this motion.
Is there a second?
Speaker, you are at time.
Is there a second to Jan's motion?
Second.
Who seconded? Was that Sally?
Yes.
Serene.
It was Sally, Fred.
Oh, my apologies.
Yep. Please be quiet. Okay. A little guidance here. Do we take up the motion to postpone first?
I think so.
Okay, great. So there has been a motion and a second to postpone consideration of this entire motion until the next meeting in December.
Yes.
Is there any objection to that? Then we will postpone it until next meeting. Okay. Next coming, yes.
So the governance committee had a second motion.
Yes. Will you please go to that second motion?
Yes. And the second one is, it's on a motion regarding special meetings. So it's the Pacifica Governance Committee recommends that the PMB pass the special meetings notice motion, that all PMB special meetings called by non-officer PMB directors must be noticed by phone calls per the Pacifica bylaws by one of the persons calling the special meeting. And if there is a majority of requests for excused absences, the meeting is immediately canceled by the person who posted the meeting on kpftx.org. If a special meeting has not been canceled and quorum has not been reached after 10 minutes after the designated meeting start time, the meeting will not be put on the stream and will be ended and designated as canceled on kpftx.org. All PMB or LSB electronic meetings must be hosted by their respective PMB or LSB officers or their identified designees and will not be called to order without authorized host. Sorry. Hosting.
Sorry, can you reread that last part?
The last sentence is all PMB or LSB electronic meetings must be hosted by their respective PMB or LSB officers or their identified designees and will not be called to order without authorized hosting.
Okay, no second.
I have a question.
No second because it comes from committee. I've got Milo's hand up and then Serene's.
I apologize for not having looked at this closely before the meeting, and I'm just wondering if you can explain, maybe it's explained someplace else in the meeting, but who authorizes the hosting? That's a question.
I think it's understood that the authorizing is the PMB or LSB officers.
I think it was Serene and then James Sagerton.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I need to hear the motion again.
It's a complicated motion. So let me first ask James, do you have questions? Okay, so Julie, would you mind reading it again?
Okay. Yes, here we go. The Pacifica Governance Committee recommends that the PMB pass the special meetings notice motion that all PMB special meetings called by non-officer PMB directors must be noticed by phone calls per the Pacifica bylaws by one of the persons calling the special meeting. And if there is a majority of requests for excused absences, the meeting is immediately canceled by the person who has posted the meeting on kpftx.org. If a special meeting has not been canceled and quorum has not been reached after 10 minutes after the designated meeting starting time, the meeting will not be put on the stream and will be ended and designated as canceled on kpftx.org. All PMB or LSB electronic meetings must be hosted by their respective PMB or LSB officers or their identified designees and will not be called to order without authorized hosting.
Okay, Serene, you just heard that. Mila, did you get your question?
Yes. I'd like to get on this then.
Okay, James? James, you've got your... Yeah.
Did you not hear me last time around?
No, we couldn't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I wanted to know the part about the authorized designees. Who authorizes the designees? Who are those people if they're not the regular officers? And how does that happen?
Should I take a crack, Madam Chair?
Please do.
So I think it's the practice of some committees and perhaps even LSBs that, you know, someone who is not an officer does the actual hosting of the meeting. It said hosting in air quotes. In other words, they run the Zoom for the meeting. But the point is the person who does the running of the Zoom for the meeting is typically doing so at the behest of the chair. And so that's okay, right? But it's, you know, somebody else can't claim to be running the meeting if the chair hasn't given them the authorization to run a meeting. That's all that means.
Okay, so in other words, if the chair of the board doesn't show up, then there has to be, I think the vice chair would then be in charge, right?
Right.
Okay. All right, so that's as normal. Thank you.
Dennis.
Yeah, so does this refer to hosting in the Zoom sense or hosting in the Roberts Rule sense in terms of running the meeting? Because hosting in the Zoom sense is could be anybody. You know, there are, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
So your question, Dennis, was, is this hosting in the Zoom sense? Or is
I mean, because a Zoom meeting has a host who need not be the person who is chairing, convening, running the meeting.
Right.
So are you talking about running the meeting, or are you talking about just who is the technical Zoom host?
I think the technical Zoom host.
Okay. Thank you.
Sally.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by the latter part of this meeting. The proposal. Actually, what's the motivation for this proposal? I guess what is this trying to accomplish? Because I don't get it.
Are you asking about the whole motion?
The whole motion.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So one of the things is, we had a meeting not that long ago, where some directors called the special meeting and the bylaws say you need three, you know, either the chair or two officers or three directors can call a special meeting. But then, what the bylaws are very clear about is that people need to be called on the telephone to be made aware of a special meeting, right? And I think the presumption has been by many people that anyone can call the meeting and the secretary has to do the calling. But if the secretary, you know, doesn't favor having the meeting, the burden for making the call should be on the people who want to hold the meeting, not on the secretary. What the bylaws do say is that you have to be called at the number that's registered with the secretary, but that doesn't mean that the secretary has to do the calling. And I think part of the reason why there was a meeting that failed to achieve quorum not too long ago was because no one made the calls, right? And I think that's the, you know, and then the question is, should people hold their evening aside for this meeting if it's not going to achieve quorum? And I think what we're trying to do with this motion is bring some regularity to, are you going to get enough people to show up at this meeting or not? Should people plan for the time, or are they free to go about, you know, doing whatever they would otherwise be doing? So that's the real gist behind the motion.
Sally, does that answer your question?
It in a sense it does. Okay, yeah. You come back to me.
Ron, then Kaja, then Serene, then back to Sally. Ron?
I just wanted the question about the phone calls. Let's be clear that someone who's organizing this requesting this meeting is also going to be responsible for making the calls. And can that be one person? Can that be a multiple people or?
Multiple people. The way the motion reads right now, it perhaps sounds a touch confusing because it says people must be noticed by phone calls per the Pacifica bylaws by one of the persons calling the special meeting. In some sense, it should be one or more of the persons calling the special meeting. It doesn't have to be one person who makes all the phone calls. You're not trying to, like, tell people how to make phone calls, but, right, just that it doesn't have to be the secretary.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Kaja.
Is communicating meetings not a responsibility of the secretary?
Yeah.
Including special meetings?
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I'm sorry, I'm going to step in here. Any three people can call a special meeting anytime. And the secretary is burdened very heavily, and there may be a likelihood that there isn't real support for having this meeting, and then she has got to call everybody. I will tell you that in the past, James Sagerton and I made the calls for a special meeting because we wanted to make sure that people would attend. Neither of us was an officer at the time. We wanted the meeting to be called, and we made the calls. The bylaws do not specify, but there can be calls for meetings that are essentially frivolous. And
the point I'm making in bringing that up, Madam Chair, is if it's in the secretary's job description, then we need to take that out.
It is not.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
then
10
why
minutes
is this
on
necessary?
Section 5.
It's being clear that those who are calling the meeting have the responsibility to call because the bylaws are not clear about it.
May I
speak? Okay, so we've got, I think, where we are is maybe Serene, then Myla, then James, and then Sally.
Point of order.
Yes, what's your point?
I thought we were supposed to go into closed session at this time.
Yes, our timekeeper has not kept us on.
We're going into closed session at 10 o'clock is what was said.
Yes. It's at 10 o'clock.
So it's 9:30. It's 9:30.
Fred, you're jumping the gun.
My apologies. I do have a point of order question. Who is 614-738?
It's me, Harvey.
Thank you, Harvey.
Don't give out people's entire number.
I'm just checking in. Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey.
May we recognize that Harvey, would you please say your name?
He just did.
I'm Harvey Wasserman, but you can call me Sluggo.
Thank you. Jan, I didn't hear it. Okay.
Madam,
going back to the stack.
We have 8.5 minutes on item 5 in totality.
Okay, I think we're back at Serene, then Myla, James, and Sally. Serene.
Well, I think we actually have two motions here, and I would move to divide them. I don't think it's a big deal to ask that the folks who are calling the meeting, if it's not a regular meeting or whatever, whoever's calling the meeting, if it's, what is it, 7 days or something, that those persons take responsibility for calling other people. The problem is that when we called a special meeting, was that only a month ago? I don't know, a while ago, the secretary did not respond to three requests that she posted over the course of a week, repeated requests that she post the meeting, and she did not ask anyone to call. So we got to the meeting, and I think 13 or 14 people were unable to attend. Asking that someone call a special, if someone calls a special meeting, they make sure to make that phone contact. I think that's fine. But that's completely separate from changing the bylaws on what directors' rights are. The bylaws say that three directors can call a meeting. They don't say that they then have to be favored that the idea, I heard someone use the term frivolous to describe other people's concerns before, that, you know, I mean, the chair and the secretary are chair and secretary of the full board and should behave that way consistently and respect, you know, the requests of directors.
I'm going to let Julie respond because you have called her out for misbehavior. I'm sorry.
I didn't call her out. I explained the history.
Yeah. Julie, go ahead.
Yeah. I believe Serena's misremembering what happened. I posted a meeting. Not enough people showed up because the three people who called the meeting didn't make any phone calls or any effort to get people there. Okay? At that meeting, which did not achieve... Excuse me.
Call the member to order.
Yeah.
Call the personal privilege.
Excuse me. At that meeting, which did not achieve quorum, I allowed you all to continue to use the Zoom, and you all, without quorum, decided that you wanted to meet the following week. There was already a meeting on the calendar for the following week. I did not notice the meeting that a small non-quorum group of people wished to put on the calendar. That is what I don't have to do. And so that's the whole point is this is setting some ground rules. If you can't get people there, then you cannot say, I want to have a meeting.
All right.
Time that proposed this is...
No. That's incorrect.
No, that...
Serene, your time is up.
Serene has not been recognized.
Right, Serene, you have not been recognized.
Interrupted.
No, you were not. So,
yeah, you stopped me from speaking so Julie could
call the member to order.
Serene,
at that point, your time had ended. No one heard me because there were many voices. At the time Julie started speaking, member Roberts' time was up.
So we'll go back to Sally, then Myla, then James.
Yeah.
I have a point of order.
What's your point of order?
My point of order is that we have a bylaw that says if there's a meeting.
That's not a point of order. Serene, that's not a point of order, and you are arguing.
My point of order is that my point of
order. Call the member to order.
Yes, I'm calling you to order, Serene. Serene will be going into the waiting room for the remainder of the meeting. Okay. Sally.
All right. As one of the people who is new to this board and who was one of those who called the special meeting, nobody told me anything about having to call anybody about it. I assumed that once the meeting was request was made and accepted, that it was going to happen. And I was highly indignant that so many people didn't show up. Now I know why, 2 months later. Mea culpa. But I think that what any individual thinks about the topic of the meeting should not have no effect on how the procedure happens.
Myla?
Thanks. It is made clear in the bylaws that people need to be notified by phone. But the reason I raised my hand, I just wanted to reinforce the idea as someone who has done a lot of volunteering and been a volunteer secretary, that it is really unfair to create an extra burden for people who are volunteering their time. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, James Sanders.
Chair, 3 minutes on item 5 remaining.
Okay. So, James?
Thank you. I want to suggest that the reason it says in the bylaws that people have to be contacted by phone is because that was back in the early 2000s before the internet, use of the internet was so much in vogue. And so somewhat of an artifact of history. And we've had situations in this organization in the past when there were emergencies or when there were closely divided boards and you know, who was the chair of the board was switching back and forth from month to month and putting a lot of obstacles in the way of holding an emergency meeting, especially perhaps in the case of a natural disaster or something, can be problematic. So I think we want to be cautious about how difficult we're going to make this happen. And we all knew that, you know, in the last meeting, the last two meetings that were called, there was a quorum strike and that, you know, certain people weren't going
to
come.
I object to that.
Okay, Fred, you're raising a point of order and objecting to that. So, well taken. James, please do not pillory.
I'm not really clear on what the objection is. I simply gave the name to the thing that happened.
So keep going, James.
Pejorative term.
So, James, your point is there should not be too many obstacles to calling an emergency meeting.
That was my first point. But then I also want to make a point about... I'm sorry, did I hear...
Your time ended.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask Julie what you would like to do. Go ahead and take a vote on this.
Chair, I have an inquiry.
What's your inquiry?
Was my time being counted when I was being objected? If somebody was shouting point of order and making a non-point of
order. Excuse me.
I will not tolerate this.
You are out of order. Okay. Darlene, please respond to James.
The timing is of the speakers having a chance to speak, not questions, that doesn't count, not getting feedback, that doesn't count, not a vote, that doesn't count. Only the time that the speaker speaks.
Okay. So let me ask the maker, the chair of the governance committee. Can we go ahead with the vote?
Yes, we should go ahead with the vote.
Great. So will you please take the vote? Yes, you support the motion coming out of the governance committee regarding special meetings. No, you do not support that motion.
All right. Kodja Brown.
Yes.
Kodja's a yes. Fred Dodsworth. No.
Yes, please.
Fred is a yes. Sally Gellert?
No.
Sally's a no. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Julie Hewitt? I'll be a yes. Avelia Jones is still not here, right? Correct. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach is a yes. Philip Muldery?
He may not still be here.
Okay. I'll keep going. Ron Pinchback.
Abstain.
Ron abstains. Myla Reason.
I vote yes. I support the motion.
Myla's a yes. I'll skip Serene. James Sagerton.
James,
it was hard to hear you.
Still hard to hear you.
No.
Say a couple of words and then say your vote.
I'm trying to say no.
No. Gotcha. James is a no. Thank you. Minerva's still not here. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey, you're muted. Dennis Williams?
No.
Dennis is a no. Michael Woodson?
Yes.
Michael's a yes. Let me go back up the top.
Hello.
Well, actually, so the only people, Harvey Wasserman, is Harvey there?
He appears to be muted.
So Serena's in the waiting room, but,
so give us
everyone else has voted.
Give us the count if Serene's vote would make a difference.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Ron?
Before you take that final count, I want to change my vote to no.
Got it.
Gotcha. Ron is a no. Okay. Madam Chair, there are at the moment 7 yes votes and there are 4 no votes. And we have a couple, you haven't voted and a couple of other people haven't voted.
So Harvey and I have not voted.
Correct.
I'll vote yes to support the committee motion.
All right. Susan is a yes.
Point of order.
What's your point?
Madam Chair, you need to call out microaggressions. You need to call out the people who are laughing, the people who are making snide remarks, the people who are... You really need to do this, Madam Chair.
I understand. Fred?
Don't.
Frank, I'm sorry. This has been a problem for more than one person. Okay? So remarks and laughing and raising whatevers. At the moment, I am not seeing it. You may be hearing it. I'm going to ask everybody to keep your non-relevant ancillary remarks and noises to yourself. Okay. Next item up is the
Chair, we have run through time for item 5.
We're now, okay. I would like to give a word about the personnel committee. And I'm sorry. The personnel committee has worked very hard. We are issuing an evaluation, document for the executive director. This is done annually. We've based it on the one that was done previously. This year it is being sent to you all by Google. Google permits a couple of things. One, greater confidentiality or assurance of confidentiality. And the other is it is a framework that will tally results and provide a report. We are asking that everybody get it back to us by next Friday, not tomorrow, week from Friday. It's a fast turnaround, but we should be able to do it. The committee will meet on the 17th to review the results and to put forward a recommendation to the board about the executive director's performance. We will also be considering anything having to do with her contract. We'll be following up with you about if you have any questions, but please fill out the forms. What is next up on the agenda? I think that's
Affiliates.
Oh, apologies.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yes, Dennis.
Yeah, and the personnel committee should probably mention what the deadline is.
Yes, it is the 14th. It's the 14th, and let me also, a major point raised by the committee was if it's an item you are not familiar with how the ED performs, it's something you don't work with her about at all, put it as NA. There are 30 questions, and they track to the job description. And there's an introduction that gives you some explanation about where the job description came from and what her little history of being employed by us. So please, if you have questions about the questionnaire, we want them back by the end of day, Friday the 14th. Okay. Affiliates.
All right, everybody, the affiliate network unit report.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to ask a question about personnel now that I've been allowed to come back in the meeting after pointing out that you were violating bylaws.
Point of order, call the person to order.
Yeah, I'm calling you to order, Serene. What is your question about personnel?
So I listened to the personnel committee meeting on Monday, and since we're now finally granting some anonymity by going to the survey instead of sending it to a person, why is it necessary to separate the surveys coming back from the staff that from those that are coming back from the board? So instead of being able to say, oh, we got 7 results,
7 of 12 from the staff, since there are only 20 directors being allowed to participate here. You know, and we got 15. If you are really serious about anonymity, just send out the 32 surveys and you'll be able to report back on the total number received.
Thank you, Serene, for your recommendation. That is not the proposal. Okay.
I move that the process be modified.
Is there a Serene, I actually removed you from the meeting altogether for the rest of the meeting. I'm not sure why you're back in, Myla. Okay, Serene should not be in the meeting. Affiliates report.
You sure this time?
Sorry.
I'm not very sure about anything. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Ursula said this is for September and October, I think. So for finances, she reports that projected income from 2026 fees were $241,428, which is an increase of approximately $1,500 over last year. After about 1 month into, she put first fiscal year. I think she meant current fiscal year. Anyway, total revenue received in October was $13,250. Most affiliates pay on a quarterly basis, approximately $22,000 in fiscal year 2025 affiliate fees remain to be collected, and collection of those fees is ongoing. Total bank balance for the affiliate unit is $47,000. She did note that health insurance benefits continue to be a concern, as this expense increased by $10,000 for fiscal year 2025. And it's expected to increase $14,000 for. I'll keep going for 2026. She noted that the affiliate unit participated in the Grassroots Radio Conference, which occurred in September. It was held in Spokane, Washington. They had a promotional table, conducted two workshops on news production and syndication, and produced an edition of Sprouts Radio from the Grassroots, which is a popular signature show aired across the network. In fact, I think that particular episode actually aired on my station about a half hour ago, or an hour ago. And they produced it live in front of an audience. So that was cool. They sponsored and introduced a keynote speaker who was FCC Commissioner Anna Gomez. The Association of Affiliates co-sponsored the lunch at the conference with excellent food catered by a local restaurant for network members and anyone interested in Pacifica Network. The luncheon was a rare opportunity to hear from many throughout the network. We were especially fortunate to have Stephanie Wells, Pacifica ED, with us throughout the conference, as well as Reggie Johnson, studio engineer from WBAI. She says to date, the participation at the conference has led to two new affiliates with three more in the process. Information on Project 2025. She says that we're arranging to work with Stephanie Wells to publish information about Project 2025 on PacificaNetwork.org. It's intended as a resource for the public and for network member stations for educating their local communities. News production, since summer of 2024, the affiliate network office has been developing collaboration to build news production capacity at Pacifica and affiliates. Bob Henley, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly, if I'm not, forgive me, station manager at WBAI, has been the primary partner in this. We've also been working with KPFA's news director, Lauren Schmidt, and WPFW's news director, Sue Goodwin, and program director, Katia Stitt. The office has focused on training and cultivating working relationships with reporters around the country and building a network roster of reporters who will provide the kind of on-the-ground reporting unique to community radio. People are enthusiastic about it. I'm just kind of going through this here. As part of this, the affiliate network unit is putting systems in place for increased protection for reporters who work with us, including written documentation and contracts, press passes, communication with the National Lawyers Guild, and training workshops on safety and legal rights, including one from Norman Siegel. She says a special thank you to Susan Young for the support in these efforts, as well thanks to Bob for providing the funding to pay reporters for their work. News production efforts culminated recently in a successful 9-hour live coverage broadcast of the No Kings Day protests on October 18th, hosted by WBAI, while incorporating guest hosts in Madison, Wisconsin, Boulder, Colorado, and Portland, Oregon, as well as 24 affiliate reporters with live call-ins from the streets across the continent, as well as Alaska and Hawaii. The result was the kind of dynamic grassroots news that Pacifica is historically known for. She says, in her opinion, this broadcast served as a watershed proof of concept event, demonstrating the willingness of network members across the country to report for Pacifica, our technical capacity, and the WBAI team's ability to host something on this scale. And I can say my station in Phoenix aired portions of this as well. And from the statistics that they obtained, at least 49 stations took some or all of it, with 32 stations airing the entire broadcast. And she says there may be actually more stations that didn't show up in the stats because some stations maybe just downloaded it and aired portions of it later. Let's see. New on Audioport, she lists a few shows, including Earth Eclectic Radio Hour, which is a weekly one-hour music show celebrating ecological awareness, 50 Ways to Weave Your Covers. Interesting. Weekly one-hour show with hip-hop samples and songs that became famous when I'm going to actually go listen to that now. Make Believe Ballroom, Golden Age of Swing and Classic Big Band Hits from the 30s and 40s. And I think that's all she had in here. Okay. Thank you for your attention.
Chair. Yes, we are 1 minute over to,
2 minutes over for, so I would, frankly, for going into executive session, I would like to give us all the opportunity to comment on this affiliates report, which I think this is what we need to be about. This is exactly what we need to be about. Thank you so very much. Fred.
I wish that the network, the five stations, could do as good a job and run as steadily, calmly, and reasonably as the affiliates. You guys rock. I welcome you always.
So thank you for waiting to the end to bring your report. Are there any other comments about the report? Yeah, Jan.
I thought it was a really good report. I think it's important for us to hear about and know about what's going on with the affiliates, and because it's an important part of Pacifica. And I just want to mention again that the No Kings Day coverage was Pacifica at its best, and we need to be doing more of that. So thank you.
Agreed. Sally.
Yeah, I had heard some of the No Kings coverage that day while I was driving around on BAI, and it was excellent. Did the other four sibling stations also air it, or affiliates, or?
He doesn't say. I'm assuming they did, because I think KPFK actually produced part of it as well.
And I'm going to, at the end of this little set of talks, I'm going to ask Stephanie to address that question about how the system worked network-wide. James.
Thank you, Chair. I think the report is fine. I think the affiliates are doing well, and I always applaud their efforts and hope that they can expand and do more. I did have one concern about the No Kings Day coverage. I was, of course, attending an event or two that day, and so I didn't hear all of it. But some of it that I did hear did sound like the WBAI, I won't name names here, but some of the Pacifica hosts, one in particular, was actually seeming to side with the demonstrations and against President Trump as a politician, as a political statement. And we have to be careful when we do these things that we not get caught up in the event and start to cheerlead for one side, because we're a nonprofit. We're not supposed to take sides, and we should be emphasizing reporting on these things objectively and let the guests do the cheerleading. It's hard to do, I know, but we need to be conscious of that as a professional organization that's got tax-free status and other advantages. Thanks.
You are not crazy, James. I heard that too, and I will share that with Ursula.
Hear, hear.
Please do. Excellent. Very important point to make, James. Very important. Harvey, and then I'm going to ask Stephanie. Harvey. Harvey? Harvey?
We can't hear you.
Harvey, we can't hear you. You're talking in click language. Let's go to Stephanie. Would you please comment on, you know, give us a little bit of your perspective on No Kings?
It was an absolute wonderful day, and it was a large group of people that had been planning it actually for quite a few months, not just Ursula and Bob Henley, but Lisa Loving, who has been spearheading a lot of the news that we're getting from the net, from the affiliates, putting it together and then sending it off to be a part of We Decide and to spread it out amongst all the stations. But also Keziah Glow, the the program director from WBAI, and also Stephanie Schubert, also in the affiliates. And we did, as we were saying, we did a lot of trainings prior, do's and don'ts for reporters, keeping people safe in dangerous times, reporter safety training. And we did have quite a few conversations with our reporters, and as James said, we still need to work on that, is that when you are reporting something, you are reporting it. You are the eyes, you are the ears on the ground. You're telling news, you're not making news. You're sharing what's happening on the ground for people that can't be there. So we're still trying to make sure that we have that journalistic instinct and training with all of our people, and we're continuing to do that as we move forward. One of the wonderful things that happened regarding this as well, again, kudos to Bob, WBAI Interim General Manager. He secured a $50,000 donation from the Transport Workers Union to help offset production costs, and not only for the No Kings Day, but also moving forward with national production. And that allowed us to be able to provide stipends for each of the field reporters. And we also issued, which had been mentioned prior as well, a reporter agreement that we had each journalist sign, and also affirming that if they were to experience any violence, detention, or arrest while performing duties on behalf of Pacifica, that we would make every reasonable effort to provide legal support and assistance. So we had lawyers on call across the country just in case something like that happened, as well as phone calls that they could reach out to Keziah, Bob, Ursula, and myself if something happened either medically or legally. Thankfully and fortunately, no reporters encountered any dangerous situations during the event, which would have required any sort of legal support or assistance. As we continue to move forward, I mean, one thing to take a nice look at is that after we've had really kind of a year of outstanding live coverage of national major events from the RNC, the DNC, election nights, major protests, breaking news, and it's been Bob and Ursula that have really been kind of, you know, leading this with a team of people from each of our stations, program directors and news directors from all of our stations. And we feel that because we have done this, smoothly, actually, that we believe that it's both realistic and achievable to move forward to continue this national coverage. So we are continuing to meet. We meet weekly to have ongoing discussions about the future of national news, building it out, what it means, identifying what is possible with our current resources, what resources we need to move it forward, and that will continue to strengthen our presence as a voice for grassroots independent journalism.
Great. So one other thing.
Oh, as far as carrying it, I'm sorry to interrupt. KPFK carried the whole day. KPFA helped produce a lot of segments for it. They had their own day that they had planned also, which was extremely successful, but we had cut into them. We cut into them as well and used some of their live footage and back and forth. KPFT pulled segments of it. WPFW as well had some events that were already planned and pulled segments from it. So it was something that all of the stations participated in, and they're still, you know, using parts of it even in different programs moving forward. There's also a link in the ED report that you can go to listen to the entire day of coverage.
Fabulous, fabulous. Okay, any questions for the executive director? Otherwise, we are ready to adjourn to executive session. It is currently 10:10 on the East Coast. James, Sally, are those legacy hands?
No, I just put mine back up. I don't know about Sally.
Yeah. Okay. What's your question or comment?
I'll just hold to it for now.
Okay. Great. So, it is 10:10. We are going to, let's give us 5 minutes. We'll get,